word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your word. It's always a lamp unto our feet. It's always a light unto our path. I thank you for breathing on what you have placed in my heart. And I thank you that those who are here today and those who are watching by way of the internet, that they will leave today with answers that they didn't have. And that the Holy Spirit will minister some things to them that will solidify direction for their life. And I pray that as they hear the word and their faith grows, that signs, miracles, and wonders will follow their lives as they choose to obey you at all costs. And I thank you for doing what only you can do in our lives today. And it's in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last week I did a message entitled, Do You Smell Like Smoke? So just look at your neighbor and sniff them. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And if you weren't here and you didn't get a chance to watch it, I want you to go back and watch the message because I believe it will bless you. I believe it will help you. And I also believe it will free you. As I said on last week, what I'm going to do during this Christmas holiday season, I'm going to allow our areas of ministry, just like our youth did today. Give our youth a big hand clap. And Pastor Marty, I think they need to publish that song. So y'all need to go into the studio because I like that song. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to allow the different departments that we have, which, by the way, this coming Friday is going to be our big production. I'm going to allow those areas to minister to us as far as the Christmas story and for this Christmas season, which allows me now to minister on some topics that I feel you might need right here in your life right now. Can you appreciate that? All right. So what I want to do today is share a message entitled Faith for the Unexpected. Faith for the Unexpected. How many of you, by way of showing your hand, have ever had something happen to you that you did not expect? Let me see your hand. Yeah, ooh, lots of hands in the building. And there are times in life that life catches us by surprise. These unexpected things that may happen, sometimes it creates stress for people. It makes people fearful. It makes, in some cases, some people become hopeless because of what they're going through. But here's the thing. Just because it caught us by surprise doesn't mean that it caught God by surprise. So the beautiful thing is God has given to every believer enough faith to overcome anything you will ever face in your life. So I know that maybe what you're facing right now is unexpected, but I want you to know on the front end, there is nothing that can happen to you that God has not already equipped you to deal with success. Say amen to that. So the goal of the message today is twofold. Number one, I want to encourage believers to know that regardless of what happens in your life, you are equipped to handle it and you can handle it with success. Here's number two, is to provide believers with a faith process to manage the unexpected. Amen. So I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to actually read three different stories, situations in the Bible. All three of them are unexpected things that happen to people. The reason I'm doing that is because there are some principles in that that I believe will help us live out what happens to us when we didn't expect it. So the first story is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. Now this story, let me give you the pretext of the context so you can understand. There is a man, a prophet named Elijah, and this king of Syria was fighting Israel. And so Israel, as they begin to fight, God will speak to Elijah and tell Elijah the plans of the king of Syria. So the king of Syria, we're going to pick up some story. He's trying to figure out if he's got a spy in the group. So let's see what happened. Verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. In other words, somebody's telling him what's going on in his camp. So he called all his servants and he said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, who's the spy among my group? And one of his servants says, well, Lord, it's none of us, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel. He's telling the king of Israel the words that you're speaking in your bedchamber. How many know God knows where everybody is and what they're saying? That's why you don't worry about what people are trying to do, because if God be for you, who can be against you? So verse 13 tells us, and he said, go and spy, find out where he is, and when you find him, bring him to me. And he told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. He's not in Dothan, Alabama, where Pastor Polo's from. Not that Dothan. He says in verse 14, therefore, I want you to send some horses and some chariots and a great host. And so they came by night and they circled the city. They surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, this is now talking about Elijah's servant, when he got up early in the morning, behold, a host surrounded the city that they were in with both horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what do we do? And Elijah said, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. Okay, because that's one of the elements that I'm going to show you, that if you're going to have faith for the unexpected, you can't let fear take place. He says, for they that be with us, listen to this now, this is powerful. He says, they that be with us are more than they be, that be with them. And apparently his servant didn't see that. So watch verse 17. And Elijah did what, church? He prayed and he says, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So that's the first story. So what was unexpected about that? Man, they woke up and they were surrounded by enemies. Look at now the second story, which is found in Matthew chapter 17. Let me give you the pretext so you can understand the context when we get into the text. This was Jesus and Peter. They were cruising and chilling one day and they got into this city and they were approached with a situation that was unexpected. It says in verse 24, on their arrival to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? He says, yes, he does. Then he went into the house, but before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, well, what do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people? They do in America. Okay, I added that part. Or do they tax the people they have conquered? Peter says, they tax the people they have conquered. Well then, Jesus said, then the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. So listen to what he says to Peter, which is going to be important later on. He said, go down to the lake, throw in a line, open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. And that's how you know, church, that you are flowing in the blessings of the Lord, when you not only have enough for you, but you have enough for other people. Here's the third story. So the situation there, all of a sudden, they got an unexpected bill. How many have had that happen to you before? Right? Here's the third story. This is now 2 Kings chapter 6. It involves Elijah again. But what you're going to see in this scenario is he had a lot of young men that he was training to become prophets. And so he was teaching them in a certain space and the space got too small. So they decided, hey, let's go build a bigger place. So that's where we pick up the story in chapter 6 verse 1. And so the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, behold now, the place where we dwell, it's too small or too straight for us, the King James says. They said, let us go unto Jordan And let's take now every man a beam or some wood, and let us make a place for us to dwell there. And so Elijah said, go. Verse 3, one of them said, hey, will you go with us? And so he says, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was falling the wood or fell in the wood, chopping down the wood, the beam, the axe that he was using fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, it was borrowed. Wow. In the first service, I don't know who it was for, but I had an unction that this is just like you borrowing your friend's car and you have an accident in it. Same thing here. Well, he says it was borrowed. So then the man of God said, where did it fall? So he showed him the place. So the man of God cut down a stick. He threw it in, and the iron or the axe head did swim. In other words, it floated to the top. And then he says, take it up and put it in your hand. And so he took it. So all three of these scenarios, something unexpected happened. Did y'all see that? All right. So that means if it happened in the Bible, it can happen to us. The axe head was accidentally lost. We read about that. The prophet Elijah was all of a sudden surrounded by the enemy. And then Jesus and Peter needed some money for an unexpected bill. So let's look and see what we need to do to have faith for the unexpected. Because some of you all are in the middle of something that happened that was unexpected. And then some of you are going to experience some things that happen unexpectedly. So this message is for you. And if you don't fall in either one of those categories, put this message on the shelf because you're going to need it one day. So what's the first point? The first thing you got to do when something unexpected happens, you have to understand, watch this now, that faith must be your foundation. Everybody say faith must be my foundation. Now let me explain something. Your faith is the third greatest thing in your life. It's not the first. It's not the second. It's the third. You say, well, what's the first? The first is Jesus. Because without him, we can't have faith at all anyway. Right? The Bible says we live by the faith of the Son of God. So Jesus is the first greatest thing in our life. What's the second? The second greatest thing in your life is your heart. Why you say my heart, Pastor? Because that's where faith is deposited and that's where faith works. And that's why the devil works overtime to try to get you to mess your own heart up so your faith in your heart won't work. Amen. And then the third thing that's the greatest in your life is your faith, because it's designed to help you to win in life. And once you know how to use your faith, then watch this, you can overcome anything. I love how 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 puts it in the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it. It says, for every child of God, how many? Every one of them. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a child of God? Okay. He says, every child of God defeats this evil world and we achieve this victory. How, church? So that's why you can't throw your faith away. Why? Because it's designed to help you win in life. So everything starts with faith. Everybody say everything starts with faith. And if you'll notice in the story where Elijah was surrounded by the enemies, the first thing he said to his servant was, fear not. And the unfortunate thing with most people is they fear a lot. Something happens, they didn't expect it, and they fear a lot. And here's the thing. The sad part is, fear and faith can't work at the same time. Fear paralyzes you, but faith mobilizes you. And there are two things about your faith. If there are any two things that will hinder your faith from working, it's these two things. Number one, it's your flesh, and number two is your feelings. When something happens, I'm gonna show you how to deal with the fear part, but your flesh and your feelings can get in the way, because if you flow in that, you cannot operate in faith and flesh at the same time. See, flesh is what you want to do, and feelings are what you feel about that. Amen. So the first thing you got to do when encountering the unexpected is you got to respond in faith. You say, well, Pastor Evan, how do I do that? I'm so glad you asked me. Which now brings us to point number two, and that is faith believes there is an answer to every problem. Don't believe the world. The world will say, oh, you got a disease that's new and they ain't got no cure for it. Listen, first of all, God already know what he already knows. And listen, there's nothing that's going to take him by surprise. So faith believes there's an answer to every problem. Watch this. Let me add this. Even if you don't know the answer to the problem. Just because I don't have an answer doesn't mean there isn't one. And when they were surrounded by the enemy, Elijah said to his servant, there are more for us than there are against us. And I like Elijah's mindset. Why? Because Elijah's mindset was, God is bigger than the situation we're facing. And that's what faith says. It doesn't matter what happened. Faith says, God is bigger than what I'm facing right now. And what Elijah, his mindset actually matches Mark chapter 9 verse 23 in the New Testament. This is what Jesus said. He says, if you can't believe, not your mama, not your daddy. He says, if you can believe, watch this now, church, all things are what? Notice it doesn't say some things. He says all things are possible, but it's only possible, church, to the person who believes. Now watch this now, because I'm about to shine some light on that. All things being possible now puts the unexpected things that happen in the category of these all things. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm saying to you, these unexpected things that might happen, God just told us through Jesus Christ that the unexpected things fall into the category of all things, and because it does, it now all things are possible. So I can believe God to bring me out because the unexpected falls into the all things, and if I can believe, all things become possible. Did y'all get that? So off the jump, when your feelings want to take over and you begin to have doubt and stuff, feeling this and feeling that and being fearful, your response needs to be, God can fix this and God will fix this. Amen. Now, this is something that you have to believe on the front end if you're going to receive the answer on the back end. So listen, church, if God knows everything, then he knows what needs to happen even if we don't. And I'm going to show you how to access the information that God has so that you can get the solutions that you need from the situation. Now, there's a major common principle that I discovered in all three of these stories. Now, a principle is something that will work regardless of, like, for instance, a principle or a law is like the law of gravity. What goes up? Okay, that principle is going to work in Texas, but it's also going to work in California. Right? Well, there's a major principle that I discovered in all three of these stories. I'm going to point the principle out to you, and then I'm going to show you how to work the principle. That common principle is having spiritual understanding and or prophetic insight is what we need for these unexpected situations. In other words, major problems require spiritual intervention. Everybody say major problems require spiritual intervention. You cannot deal with big problems in an average way. Now, one of the things, there are several things, but one of the first things that you got to do when you face something unexpected, you can't fear. That's number one. Number two, you have to have a faith attitude that this might be bigger than me, but it's not bigger than God. And that's why the Bible says, greater is he that is what? In me than he that is in the world. Now, the third thing that I want us to see that we have to do is found in verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a major principle that Elijah functioned in when he dealt with his enemies. It says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes and the young man saw. So the third step in this faith process that we're talking about is that Elijah prayed. Everybody say prayed. Do you know a lot of people, when they're dealing with unexpected things, they never pray about it? You know what we do a lot of times? We think about it, but you thinking about it don't mean you praying about it. So Elijah prayed. And I want you to notice something about his prayer. It was not a general prayer. It was a specific prayer. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And so this prayer falls in line with a New Testament prayer that if I want to encourage you, we're going to read it. I want you to pray this prayer for you, for your family, for your children, for your church, for your pastor. If you ever want to pray for somebody, here's a great prayer found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Watch what Paul prayed about these Ephesians. And this prayer lines up with what Elijah prayed in the Old Testament. He says, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, he says, and after I heard for your love for all the saints, he says, I've ceased not to give thanks for you. I've even made mention of you in my prayers. Well, let's see what the prayers was. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, and that he'll give to you some revelation. And this revelation needs to be in the knowledge of him. Watch verse 18, because it lines up with what we read in the Old Testament. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. He was saying, I need you. I'm praying that God will open up your eyes so you can see. To see what? That you may know what is the hope of his calling for your life. Well, in this situation, we're going to pray, Lord, I need you to open up my eyes so I can see the solution to the problem that unexpectedly happened to me. And so this prayer is for spiritual understanding or revelation. So you say, well, Pastor Evan, how does that work? Well, I'm glad you asked. Once Elijah prayed the prayer, watch this, church, he expected God to do it. And many people, they ask God about stuff. The first problem is it's not specific enough. The second problem is they ask and walk away. Amen. Every unexpected problem needs a spiritual mindset for intervention. So not only does every problem have an answer, watch this, church, I'm getting ready to turn a corner, but there is also a way to access the answer to every problem, whether it's expected or not, which now brings us to point number three. Because here's the thing, how do we access these answers to these unexpected problems that's going to happen to us? Well, the way we're going to do that is we have access to Christ's mind every time. In other words, Jesus, who's now sitting on the right hand of the Father, has answers to solutions. And if we know how to access his mind, then guess what? We'll have answers every time. And one of the first things we must be aware of is that we have his mind. We're not getting his mind. We have his mind. But here's the thing about that now. You can have access to something but not have entry. I can give you a key to my house, which now grants you access. But if you never go to my house and use the key to open the door, you have access, but you don't have entry. And all of us have the mind of Christ. We have access to it, but many of us don't know how to get in it. Watch what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we might instruct him? But listen, but he says, but in contrast to that, you and I, read it with me, we have the mind of Christ. So when Jesus and Peter were faced with this unexpected debt, Jesus gives Peter, listen, church, some prophetic or some natural instructions that were connected to spiritual insight. I'm going to say that again. See, a lot of people, they rely on prophets. But I'm going to show you in just a second. There's a way for you to access the same information that a prophet can get. And Peter, Jesus gave him some prophetic or what I'm going to call some natural instructions. But these natural instructions were connected to spiritual insight. And that's how the young man received his axe head back from Elijah. Elijah gave him some natural instructions that was connected to some spiritual insight, which caused him to experience a miracle. And so a spiritual mindset is necessary to solve natural problems. I'm going to say that again. A spiritual mindset is necessary to solve natural problems. And the beautiful thing is these natural instructions or this spiritual insight we need to have is always something that God already equipped you to do. Okay, so let's just do a review real quick. Remember when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt? When he led them out and he was stuck between a rock and a hard place, well, really it was an army and then the water. He had the Red Sea over here and the army over here and he was stuck. Okay, God told him, listen church, cause see some of y'all thinking, I don't know what to do. First of all, you need to stop saying that. The Bible says, call those things that be not as though they were. Here it was, Moses, God told him, raise up the rod, Moses. Was Moses able to do that? Yes, because listen, you are going to have to take place in God using you to get out of this unexpected situation. And he will always use you to do something you already know how to do. Okay, you say, well, okay, let's take Joshua. Remember Joshua? They were out there and they were fighting the battle and Moses had his arms up and then they start losing the battle when Moses put his arms down. So what'd they do? They put his arms back up. In other words, what they were able to do, God had them to do. And that's the key, is understanding that God will give you some natural instructions that are connected to spiritual insight. So watch this now. We're going to see that with Jesus and Peter, Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. He says, however, we don't want to offend these people. So watch what he tells Peter to do. He says, go down to the lake and throw in a line. My question to you is that natural? Yes. Did Peter know how to do that? Yes, because Peter is a fisherman. So Jesus gave him some natural instructions. Go down to the lake, throw in a line. Let's see what else he said. He says, open the mouth of the first fish you catch. Is that in the natural? Yes, it is. And then he says, once you do that, you'll find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. So I want you to notice the instructions that Jesus gave Peter. They were natural, but they produced supernatural results. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't believe, I ain't never seen no fish. How would a fish have a coin in his mouth? That's crazy. I don't know about all that, Pastor Evan. Is that Bible real? Well, first of all, you may not know this, and you can go do some research. There's one particular fish in general that in those days and times, they used to swallow shiny objects. So apparently somebody dropped a coin that was fishing. It fell down to the bottom of the sea and that fish swallowed it up. But I've even seen that happen in our life today. I read online that this man caught a fish and when he brought the fish up out of the water, they noticed that the fish belly was huge and it wasn't food. You could feel something was up. When they opened up the fish's mouth, the fish had swallowed somebody's wallet. And the wallet had money in it. Don't limit God by your limited mindset. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I can ask, think, or imagine. So you may say, well, Pastor Edmund, how do I get these instructions you're talking about? Do I need a prophet? Well, most of the time, everybody say most of the time. 99% of the time, you don't need a prophet. Now, God can use one, but the source, listen now, you and I have the source of where the prophets and prophetic people, we can get the same information from where they get it from, and that's the Holy Spirit. Listen to John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus said, howbeit when he, who? The Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he's going to guide you and I with all truth. And then he's not going to be speaking about himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And when he speaks, he will show you things to come. That will solve my problem right there. He can show me something about my problem that I didn't even know existed. The Holy Spirit can do that. And when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, God gave you the Holy Spirit. And then verse 14, Jesus goes on to say, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. So whatever Jesus shows the Holy Spirit is obligated to show it to us. So the Holy Spirit's job is to provide us with information and strategies to help us overcome unexpected situations. Now, do you know why most people never get these prophetic instructions? You know why they never get these natural instructions that connect them to spiritual insight? You know why? Ask me why. Because they don't ask. Listen to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus said, ask, and it might be given. What did he say? Shall. Didn't say might. He says, ask, and it shall be given. He says, seek, and you shall find. He says, knock, and it shall be opened for everybody. I like that because, see, that some people, well, God don't talk to me. He said, no, everyone who asks, they receive. And he that seeks, find. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Listen, church, if that verse is true, and it is, then the opposite of that verse is true as well. What do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? The opposite of that verse sounds like this. If you don't ask, you will not be given it. If you don't seek, you will not find. If you don't knock, it will not be open to you. And everyone who does not ask does not receive. And he that does not seek will not find. And to him that will not knock, that door will not be open to them. The average person doesn't ask. It is simply asking. You say, well, Pastor, I've asked before and I didn't get it. Well, my question to you is, did you ask with an expectation to receive? Did you ask in faith? Anybody can ask in doubt. James 1 says, if any person lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask. Who did it say ask? God. He's saying, when you need to ask something about that unexpected situation, he said, go to the throne, not to the phone. Soon as something happens, girl, will you pray for me? Can you add me to the prayer list? Oh, Lord, please. Can you agree with me? No, he said, go to the throne and ask God. And he says, and when you do that, God gives to all men this wisdom freely and upbraided not, meaning that he won't even fuss at you for giving it to you. You know, back in the day, boy, you get fussed at for asking, right? And then it says, but let this person ask how? In faith. Nothing wavering. Because if you waver, you're like the sea and the wind that's tossed. And he says, if you're going to be like that, if you're going to ask like that, he says, let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. So here's a question. This is so good here. I'm almost finished. How do you and I recognize the answer when God releases it? There are several ways, which brings us now to point number three. Revelation for my situation can come from different sources of information. I'm going to say that again. Revelation for my situation can come from different sources of information. So I'm just going to briefly go over these, and then I'm going to testify at the end. You have to remember, any answer God gives you, it has to agree with his word. If you try to resolve something that's outside of his word, that puts you in the flesh and you're going to lose. Amen. Listen, I know that thought comes, you know what? I'm tired of my supervisor being on. One of our members just told me this 2 weeks ago. Said, Pastor, my boss was giving me so much a hard time. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how much I can take. And then I said, well, maybe I just need to cuss him out. You know, because sometimes people, you just feel like they just need a good cussing. I mean, it worked for you with your parents growing up. They cussed you out. You got straight, right? Well, why don't that work now? I think I'm going to try it. Nope. If it's not in the word, you're not in faith. Here's number two. Another way that revelation for your situation can come through different sources of information is through prayer. Some things God will reveal to you in prayer. Here's a third way. It can come through me preaching a sermon to you. I can be preaching and the Holy Spirit be talking to you at the same time. You walk out of there with something like, wow, thank you, Lord. Then it can come from a prophetic individual. That's why at times I bring prophets in and we use prophetic people or voices in our church. I believe in the prophetic, right? But then here's another one. A person that God puts in your path. In other words, God can use anybody to tell you what he needs to tell you. But see, the emphasis though, when it's that way, is not on the person who's telling you the thing. The emphasis is on your need for the Holy Spirit to highlight your answer through them. Because if you have that, oh, you'll be what I call a prophet hound. You'll be looking for prophet. You got a word for me. 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 You got a, no, God got a word for you. Or here's the last one, which we're going to focus on, and how you can get your answer for your unexpected situation is the Holy Spirit directly gives it to you. And he can do that through reminding you of the word, maybe giving you an idea, maybe present a thought to you, or in one of the situations that I'm going to share with you that I haven't shared in a long time is through promptings. Now this happens quite a bit if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I remember this was last year, I was filming some announcements and Becky was filming me. I asked Becky to stop. I had a prompting to pray in the spirit. In the middle of announcements. She'll tell you this too. I said, Becky, can you give me a minute? So I went to the new membership class over here, the room, and I started praying in the spirit. And I had a feeling that what I was praying about was for my upcoming travel. I had a speaking engagement for that Sunday, and it wasn't here, it was somewhere else. And I knew while I was praying in the spirit that it was connected to that somehow. Didn't know what. Sunday rolls around. The church, which I won't name them because y'all may get some hate from them. Not from them, but people would hate the church. But anyway, a friend of mine allowed me to use their jet. So I took me, Landon, and it was heaven, and we were going to fly to this city to go preach. We get on the plane. Now, you have to understand, the plane had to fly from a different city to get here. The plane gets here, and guess what, church? It won't start. That's all right. So, you know, at these private airports, they pull up a big old battery. You know how you got to jump your car? They jump airplanes. So they jump the airplane up, and it starts, and then it just dies. I'm like, whoa. I ain't ready to die just because this plane is dying. Man, after 3 or 4 times, me and heaven looking at each other, and I'm like, I ain't ready to die today, heaven. So they couldn't get the plane started. Found out later that there was a short on the battery for the plane. I don't know if we ever would have made it, but what I do know is that my prompting to pray saved us. I'm going to give you one more. That was a bonus. Now, this was in the lesson for the first one, because this is what I meant to tell you. So years ago, I was working for a church, and I was like the person who I was kind of like Pastor Jonathan, and I was, you know, Bryn and PJ, the black PJ, because, you know, we got a white PJ and a black PJ. So anyway, you know, they take care of the building and all that stuff. So I was taking care of the building and stuff, and we had like a 2-day like meeting. So I was making sure the air conditions were set and make sure the trash was out and make sure everything was cool for the next day. It was about 11 something at night. So now I'm actually getting ready to put the code into the alarm when I feel a prompting to pray in the spirit. Nobody's there. It's just me. I'm getting ready to go home. I don't know why I feel I need to pray in the spirit. So I begin to pray in the spirit. So I'm praying in tongues, and I'm praying in tongues working at the same time. So I took all the trash from the building. It was like 2 or 3 bags, big bags, and I'm taking them outside, but I'm still praying in the spirit because I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit to do it. Don't know why though. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 8, we don't know how we pray as we should, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he who searches the heart knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the mind of the Spirit prays God's will for us. So I'm praying in tongues. I get the trash outside. I take out my keys and I lock the church door. Alarm set, good. Now, these bags of trash were big, so what I decided to do was take the bags of trash and put them on top of my car and drive the car to the dumpster. Instead of making three trips, I'm only making one. So I get to the dumpster, and I still have the keys in my hand. I put my keys on top of the car, and I put the trash bags in the dumpster. But I forgot that I left my keys up there. So I get in the car, I go, and I get on the highway, and I hear this long scratch sound like, I was like, what was that? I look in the rearview mirror, I don't see nothing. I'm like, well, I don't know what that was. Well, I'm going to get home and find out real quick. Because I got home, and I couldn't get in the house because those were my keys sliding off the roof of that car. I'm like, oh my God, now I know why I'm praying in the spirit. So I start praying real hard. And I was like, okay, let me go and see if I can find those keys on the highway. How many know that's a dumb idea? I get in the car, I go back, I go all the way back to the highway. And then I think, okay, where exactly did I hear that? And I go, and I kind of go slow, cause now it's like past midnight and some change. So it ain't a lot of cars on the highway, but you know, you still can't, you know, go real too slow. So I'm looking, and after twice doing it, I was like, shoot, forget this. I'm tired. I got to get up early in the morning. I'll just have all my keys remade. And the Holy Spirit takes over now and says, nope, I want you to follow me now. I said, okay, what we doing? He says, I need you to go around one more time. I'm like, oh my God, I'm tired. I know. Just follow me. I get back on the highway now, and I'm going, and I'm going to speed limit. He said, slow down. I slow down a little bit. He said, now get over on the shoulder. I get over on the shoulder. He says, now go really slow. I'm go real slow. He said, stop right now. I said, stop. Okay, I stop. He said, cut on your high beam lights. He says, get out of the car and go look in front of the car. I get out of the car. I look in front of my car, and there are my keys laying right there on the ground. He said, well, Pastor Evan, God don't talk to me like that. He can. And he wants to. The problem with us is we don't follow regular instructions. So how can we get special instructions? I'm trying to tell you. He will talk to you. But you gotta want him to talk to you. And listen, you don't have to qualify for nobody special. Because it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men. It ain't just a pastor, everything. So the question is, how do now we receive the download? First of all, you got to believe that he's going to download. And I know he's going to do it because I'm going to do something he asked me to do. There is a shortcut in getting the answer to prayer. Y'all ready for the shortcut? The shortcut is when you touch and agree with somebody else. If two or three of you touch and agree on earth as having anything, he will do it. So the shortcut is, all I need to do is connect with somebody, because watch this, that energizes my faith to a nitrogen level. See, I be watching these shows where they be racing these cars sometimes, and these cars, you know, they got this nitrogen in the back, and they got this button that they push, and so they're going, and so they want to, you know, they get close to the finish line, they hit that button, and that nitrogen kicks in, and boom, that car goes faster, right? Well, we going to do a nitrogen agreement prayer. Because see, some of y'all right now are facing some deadlines, and you don't know what to do yet. Some of you all are under some deadlines right now. And you don't know what to do. Okay, so listen. Stop saying, I don't know what to do. What you're going to say now is, Lord, thank you for the mind of Christ because I have that. I got in agreement with Pastor Eben. The agreement was you're going to download the wisdom and the solution that I need. And all you got to do is keep your heart open to receive what it is, because it might come from a commercial on TV. You know the scripture that it says that God was going to plant us in a place of our own and move no more? Remember that scripture that I used to help us stand on building this building? Do y'all know that scripture came from me watching Christian TV? I wasn't even out watching it. It was just on. This is years ago. It was, the TV was just on. I was literally walking to my, into my bathroom, and a preacher on TV said that verse. And the Holy Spirit said, that's the verse for your church right there. So you can't be like, I just need a prophet to talk to me. Well, you have limited your communication with God, because the same Holy Spirit that gives it to the prophet can give it to you. So, with every head bowed, did y'all get something out of the message today? So with every head bowed, if you're here today, or if you're watching me, and you're facing an unexpected situation, and you don't know what to do, I want to get in agreement with you. But I need you to participate, because the only way I can get in agreement, I need to know who I need to be in agreement with. And if that's you, just right there, just see, raise your hand and say, Pastor Evan, that's me. I'm dealing with something unexpected right now. I'm dealing with something unexpected. Will you agree that God's going to download this answer to me? Ooh, I see. I should have just had everybody to raise their hand. So keep your hand up, because I'm going to pray. And after I pray, church, do not say, God, what am I going to do? Don't do that. You're going to do what he reveals to you you need to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, you told me to get in agreement with your people, because you are not a man that you should lie. You watch over your word to perform it. Therefore, your word tells us if two or three of us touch and agree on the earth as having anything, we can have it. And so, Father, I agree with every person whose hand is up right now that they're going to, Father, receive a download for the answer that they need from this unexpected situation. And, Lord, we thank you, because you said if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask. And that's what we're doing now. So, Holy Spirit, highlight this answer to us in the name of Jesus. Use whoever you got to use. Speak to us in a way that we know it's you. And Lord, we thank you in advance for helping us solve this unexpected situation. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to use it as a testimony to encourage somebody else. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. So if you raise your hand, just thank him right now for the answer. Thank him for the answer. Thank him for the answer. With every head still bowed, if you're here today, my question to you is, if you died.